The forgiveness of God, amen, I'm so glad for all of them. I don't even know how I made it through life to the point that I did without knowing about it, amen, or feeling it, though the gifts of God were upon me, you know, before I even came to know Him.
Yes.
Amen. And I'm so glad that I realize it now, and I want to give Him the glory. How about you?
Amen.
I'm going to go quickly at 2 Corinthians 12:9. Our subject matter is grace. What a wonderful word, huh?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. What a concept.
Yes.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee.
Yes.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You can be seated. Amen. I was thinking of grace. I was thinking, as I was sitting there, I had my eyes closed. Amen. I was thinking about how that, amen, grace, amen, what a wonderful thing. But I thought, you know, that mercy and grace are connected.
Yes.
Amen. They go together. Amen. And they come directly from the heart of God. And I thought about how that somebody might stand before a judge. And they're guilty, as they say, guilty of sin. And the judge takes the gavel, and he's about ready to proclaim judgment on them, maybe life imprisonment or some horrible thing.
Right.
He gets ready to hit it, and a hand stops the gavel from hitting the wood block.
Yeah.
Amen. That would be Jesus for us.
Right.
Amen. When judgment was coming, the Lord, amen, stopped the gavel from hitting the wood block by walking up Calvary and dying on Calvary because of mercy and because of grace. I'm so thankful. I think about that.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace.
I thought about when I was, for one weekend, I worked in a jail, but for one weekend they let us be a policeman out on the street. Can you imagine? The only thing I ever knew was what I saw on television. That's the way they worked then. You know, they didn't care what you did. They just give you a gun and a little ball bat, and you were a billy club. And I went out there, and I saw a guy. We were walking this beat, and me and another guy saw this guy underneath the car. Nobody would have said anything, but I asked him and talked to him and asked him if he could show me, you know, that he owned the car. Well, he was stealing parts off of it. I didn't know. Most policemen wouldn't even pay attention, I suppose. But, you know, I was really trying to be something. So I had to arrest him, and I had to read him that little Miranda rights and all that stuff, and I took him in, and you know, they asked me, "Can you positively identify this man?" Because they were wanting to throw him in. I said, "You know, really, thinking about all the repercussions of this, and this guy's whole life being messed up over some auto parts," I thought to myself, "I really can't tell who this guy is." And they got mad at me, but I couldn't, so they let him go. And I'm thinking to myself, that's the way the Lord is.
Yes,
I was thinking that we're guilty. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of a lot of things. I've even had to read my rights before. But you know what? I never did anything, not even did any jail time or anything, but God was merciful to me. God was good to me because of mercy. Hallelujah, because of grace. I think we don't think a lot about it sometimes. I know I don't. But I'm so glad that He showed me mercy.
Yes.
Amen. Mercy, by definition, is God not giving us what we do deserve.
That's right. That's right.
And then grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I got some examples real quickly of great grace. Amen. I like those two words together.
Yes.
Great grace. It is grace. I think about David the king. David, amen, was a very blessed man, a man that, amen, killed Goliath, and who was pretty honorable until he saw a beautiful lady from the top of his rooftop because he wasn't doing it. It wasn't the first time he was, his mind wandered, and he saw this woman, and he looked at her, and he told the servant, "Go get her," and you know the rest of the story. Had a righteous man killed. And so he was a murderer. And then he was with that lady, so he was an adulterer.
Yeah.
Amen. A murderer and adulterer. And yet when the prophet came and told him, you know, the parable, you know, and he said, "You're that man." He had a choice, Brother Dexter. He had a choice to say, "Kill that prophet," and cover it all up, but he repented. And in the New Testament, you don't read anything about him being a murderer or an adulterer. You read that he's a man after God's own heart. Not only does God show us mercy and grace, not only, but he renews us and makes us somebody in the kingdom of God. Can you clap your hands? I like the Apostle Paul, and he persecuted the church. And he was awful. One place he said he wasted the church.
Right.
Another place he compelled them to blaspheme. You imagine that's like the Gestapo or something. You know, electrocuting them until they would confess and then they would kill them. Yeah. Amen. He did all that. And he says, he goes, that he was the chiefest of sinners.
Yes.
Yet, 2 Corinthians, he had a thorn in his flesh. Somebody would say it's his eyes. Somebody, I don't know. I personally would like to think it was the memories of those people screaming and him doing it ignorantly, thinking he did God's service. And watching children reach for their mother's skirt as they drug them away. And that awful feeling that he had and changed people's lives and forever. And but the Bible said that he cried out three times. The great man of God who probably prayed for many people that were healed of many diseases and things.
Yes.
And the Lord did not heal him, but he showed him grace and mercy. And he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. It's good enough. That'll keep you humble.
Yes, right.
And you'll be all right. Because I got more work for us to do."
Right.
The last one I got is the Apostle Peter.
Right.
Peter was a really outspoken guy. Bold.
Yes.
Probably real, as you'd say, what do you call that? I don't know what they call it. Masculinity business. Well, I guess I got masculinity. But he had this toxic. That's what they call it.
Toxic.
So, he said, "I will not deny you." He says, I will go and I will die for you. And I'm paraphrasing. The Lord said, "Before the cock crow, you're going to deny me."
Right.
Three times. And here's the great Apostle Peter as they're asking him, "Aren't you one of them?" "No, I'm not one of them. I don't know anything about this guy."
Right.
And they said, "Aren't you one of him?" And he began to curse.
Right.
And swear. And I don't know what all that was, but it wasn't good.
Right.
And then when the cock crew, one gospel says they looked and looked at Jesus afar off and their eyes met and he wept bitterly. He thought it was finished. Have you ever felt that way, that you crossed the line?
Right.
Amen. I have. Right. I felt that way. You say, my wife says, "Don't be so transparent." But you know what? If we were all transparent, amen, we would acknowledge that we were, in my words, dirt bags.
Yes.
Right. I wasn't a dirt bag. Well, I was. And I'm so glad that as Peter, amen, was all messed up and crying and thinking it was all over, and the Lord, in His grace, said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter."
Yes, yes.
I can only imagine. Can you see Peter just head down and grace comes in and mercy? And tell Peter, "Hold on. Did he say my name?" Yeah, he said, "Tell the disciples and Peter." Yes. Me, the least of the apostles, I cursed him.
Yes.
Well, the rest of them ran off. Isn't that wonderful that he's done that for us?
Yes. Right.
I know that we have failed so badly, and we look back in our lives and we're so thankful for the grace of God. We're so thankful that somebody spoke the truth to us and we prayed and were baptized in Jesus' name and we were filled with the Holy Ghost and we went on our journey and there was potholes and we fell into booby traps and everything else. But God has shown grace to us. God knows what we are. God knows who we are. God knows what we've done.
Right.
We don't need to go around telling everybody what we've done. But you know, we need to tell Him. But He already knows.
Right.
But you still repent, and you know what? He'll forgive you. I think about how that I know I keep bringing this, but this, when people are arrested out on the road, they tell them, put your hands behind your head, get on your knees, lay on your stomach. Could you picture that? This guy's going to jail.
Right.
And when they're getting ready to cuff him, just thank the Lord, he picks him up and says, hey, go on your way and sin no more.
Right, no more, yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
He knows your thoughts. He knows even after we come to the Lord, the problems that we have. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'll hurry on, Romans chapter 7, where it sounds so confusing and so frustrating when it talks about us. Even now, when we come to the Lord, it talks about in Romans 7, 14, it says, I'm sorry, I want the 6. 7:14 says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Don't beat yourself up too bad.
Right.
For that which I do, I allow not. You ever feel that? That's what I do. I say, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Right.
I'm not going to do this thing anymore. I'm so tired of it. And then we do it again. I'm not okay with it. I'm just saying it's a fact.
Right.
We are made of flesh and bones. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I that I do, but what I hate, that I do. It's like Peter when he said, I'll not deny you.
Right.
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, how to perform that which is good I find not. And I move all the way down to, amen, 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I love this. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad for grace and mercy that was purchased at a great price? This grace is sufficient. I'd just like to say to us, and getting close to the end of this, is I'd like to say, let's hold on to it. Let's grasp it. That's not weakness. The world, even the church world, the oneness world, whatever, they have made fun of claiming that we have grace and mercy.
Right.
I'm not telling you about sloppy grace or making grace a disgrace. I'm talking about the real thing.
Right.
You know what happens to people when they can't live up to the standards they feel they need to live up to in God? They just find themselves in a place where they say, I just can't do it. And it's a trick of the enemy that you'll walk away. But always remember the grace and mercy of God is standing right there to lift you up again and to set you on your way so you can try again. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient and overpowering. More mighty than any sin. Amen. Now there's some pretty bad ones out there. I say, believe it, grasp it, and trust it. Amen. Grace overrides just judgment. It overrides, yes, I'm guilty. Yes, you are.
Right.
But grace overrides it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You were guilty. Amen. And finished and done. But grace says no. Grace says you win. If you call on my name.
Oh, yeah.
Man named Legion. His name wasn't Legion, but the devil said he was Legion. We don't know his name. And this man, amen, who knows how he got to the place where he was possessed with a legion of devils.
Right.
He probably was a dirtbag too.
Right.
He probably frequented the clubs and whatever he did, so to speak. Amen. He did a lot of things. Amen. You're not just the most upstanding citizen in the world, and all of a sudden you have a legion of devils.
Right. Right.
I don't know, but he was filled with them. And he hated himself. And he ran in the hills and cried out and screamed and cut himself.
Right.
But God showed him mercy. He came down, fell down before the Lord. The Lord cast him out. He was clothed in his right mind. That's grace.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
The woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, how embarrassing.
Right.
Yes.
And threw her down at Jesus' feet. And surely, she thought, I will be stoned.
Right. Yes.
Surely she was waiting for the first stone. I don't know, brother, if they threw a big stone, maybe you studied it, cracked him in the head, knocked him out, and then threw a million. They still do this over in Iran and places.
Yes.
Or did they just keep throwing little ones to torture her until finally they killed her? What a miserable death, and what a miserable idea that this woman was laying at the feet of Jesus. And at the end, Jesus says to her, he says, where are thine accusers? And I could just see her, I don't know, and she looks up, looks around, there's nobody there but her and Jesus, as they say, Jesus only.
Yes.
She goes, there's nothing, Lord.
Yes.
He says, neither do I. Go, say no more. Can you lift your hands? God, how many times has He told us that?
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord.
Feels like pressure's relieved. Released. The bomb is diffused. Amen. I'd just like to say, joy cometh in the morning.
Yes.
And
yes,
never, this is all, this is the end. Don't ever, ever, ever give up.
Right.
Don't ever think that you can't make it. I really did it that time.
Yes.
That's the end of the whole thing. It's not the end of the whole thing. God can make the difference. Man says it's the end, but God doesn't. For the Bible says it's not His will that any perish, but that all. Can you say all? It's His will that all. I know they all won't, but that all come to repentance. I live for that. I hold on to that. My memory goes back to things that I have done and said, and my failures and things. It goes back and it haunts me at times. But yet the Lord's grace and mercy has brought me to this day.
Yes, yes.
Amen. He's going to keep me all the way to the end. The Lord bless you all.
Thank you, Lord. God is so good to us. Somebody say
He's so good to us.
So good. He didn't go 15 minutes, did he? So I guess on his time? Have you got it?
No?
No. 30, bro.
I want to talk a little bit about this morning when we done the round robin, and I told them, I said, man, I like that. So the first Sunday of the month, it's going to kind of be our practice, the good Lord will. And so I told them Thursday, I said, let's talk about grace. Now, I want to define what grace is not first. And we... if we're not careful in our theology, we combine grace and mercy. There's a song called Your Grace and Mercy. We need to separate those two terms because they're very, very different. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's a definition by a great reformer, he was called. However, his philosophy and theology was very wrong on his idea of grace. He said, grace is God's unmerited favor. I pulled it up on the dictionary this morning. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Mercy, Brother Skinner talked about it, is God giving us what we don't deserve.
Right.
That's forgiveness. Sinners don't get grace.
Right.
They get mercy. That's where our philosophy is kind of a little bit messed up. Everybody here today has grace.
Yes.
But everybody here today passed some sinners on the way to church that did not have grace.
Right.
Grace is, everybody say
is,
God's favor.
God's favor.
But don't add unmerited favor.
Right.
Because that's theologically and biblically incorrect. Listen, come work on this. Unfreeze it and go to the next slide. Somebody say, grace,
grace
is not God's unmerited favor. But grace is God's favor.
God's favor.
Remember that. Sinners get mercy and not grace. I'm not going to read the whole definition because I have a time frame. Unmerited means it's unearned or undeserved.
Right.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Right.
How did all those people outside of the ark, how did they favor? They didn't have it.
Right.
So how, if it's unmerited, all of them should have had it. And every one of them, God should have lined up just like the animals and put on the boat.
Right.
If everybody has grace.
Right.
But theologically, according to the Bible, that's incorrect.
Right.
Noah found.
Yes.
He wasn't looking for Easter eggs and found the $100 bill.
Right.
We don't do Easter egg hunts. He wasn't just snooping around somewhere. You see, Noah was bestowed God's favor because Noah was an altar builder.
Yes.
Noah was a prayer warrior. Noah was living righteous and justly before God. Genesis 6 and 8. Did you put the next slide up? There's one more after that. Oh, it didn't pick it up? Okay, we'll go back. I have grace is God's favor. Noah was distinguished and different from the rest of the world as a peculiar mark of honor put up on him. Noah found grace, Genesis 6 and 8 says, in the eyes of the Lord. When God was displeased with the rest of the world, he favored Noah. Somebody say, Noah found grace.
Noah found grace.
This vindicates God's justice in his displeasure against the world and shows us that it strictly examines the character of every person that was living in that day. And in it, before he pronounced universal corruption on the whole world and that they was corrupt, he found one good man. His name was Noah. He found him out and he smiled upon him. It also magnifies his grace toward Noah that he was made a vessel of God's mercy when all of mankind beside him became a generation of wrath. God came to Noah and said, Noah, I tell you what we're going to do. God could have rescued Noah many ways. He could have just took Noah and his wife up out of there.
Right.
By the way, it's proven in biblical times that if you go back and look at the time frame, that when God came to Noah and said, I'm going to get you to build a boat. I'm going to give you a pattern. I'm going to give you a way out of this. You're going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
I say work for
yeah,
it. See, they want to separate works from salvation. And you can't do it biblically.
Right.
You're not saved by your works alone.
Right.
And they harp on that with a skitter. And, oh, you're not saved by works alone. So thereby you should have none? Have you lost your mind?
Why?
The Bible tells you, hey, you've got to do what? You've got to be baptized.
Yes.
Right.
You've got to believe.
Yes. Right.
You've got to act accordingly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's not works of the flesh.
Well, then what is it?
When I go down in that water, it wasn't my spirit in the water, it was my flesh.
Yeah,
my body has a spirit in it, but it was both of us together.
Yeah,
well, I'm in that water in spirit, brother. Well, you better get your body in there.
Right.
Because this whole body is going to change. And by the way, there's not going to be nothing left.
Yes. Right.
When you're changed, your old immortality or your old mortal will put on immortality.
Yeah.
God's going to save you and your body with you. That's how you get to heaven. And it says we're going to be known even as we are known. There's not going to be a natural body up there. Natural body has limits.
Yeah.
But God's going to change us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We see that when Jesus was changed. And he told him, don't touch me. And you won't like what happens when you touch me right now. Because this is still the spiritual body that came up out of that ground and resurrected after death, hell, and the grave. He said, don't touch me yet. Don't touch me.
Right.
Why? I believe they'd have stuck their hands right through him. But they still seen that natural body. But there was something different about that natural body in that state.
Right.
We got to go on. We can't get on all that. We got time for it. Grace. Oh, Genesis 6 and 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man.
Yeah, he was.
We always talk about Job being perfect. Look what the Bible says about Job. And perfect in his generations. I've had preachers argue with me over the fact you can't be perfect. And I know it's a strange doctrine somewhere, but the Bible says that he was perfect and Job was perfect. I said it behind the
friend's pulpit. He got up after I got through and said, "We know you can't be perfect." I want to drop the mic. Mic drop. Just take Job 1:1, please, sir. Please, know her. I want to tell you. Just take everybody's Bible, please, because you don't believe what it says.
Right. Right.
Noah was perfect.
Yes.
My son showed this the other day. Dad, you know the Bible says Noah's perfect? I said, I read that. Wow. Right. So how many does that make now?
Two.
No, it's three, Ellery.
Three.
We forgot Jesus. We knew he was perfect. The Bible don't have to say so. We knew he was. He didn't have no flesh with daddy. Like Noah and Moses did.
Right.
See, the problem is we look through flesh and eyes, Lord. We look at ourselves, what dirt bags we are, and we feel that way.
Right.
Don't think you're the only ones that feel that way.
Yes.
But you've got to resist that fight. Because you know why? In my flesh, yes, I am all of those things. I am all the negativity
right.
that you can think I am. But in my spirit man, that's been regenerated. That is the old man. And what you see now is the new man. And I'm walking in perfection. Because I'm walking forgiven. And I'm walking in mercy and grace. You get mercy first, and then you graduate to the grace. Somebody say great grace. Great grace. I like that. Great grace. And Noah walked with God. That's why he was perfect. Grace in the Bible is favor. Noah first. First man we see, Noah found grace. The next time is Lot begging for grace from the angels that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And they said, "You're going to go up here." And Lot said, "We can't go live in the mountains. Some beast is going to destroy us." Man, these people they just saved you from dying.
Right.
Can we go over here? Don't you understand? You can't make right decisions, Lot.
Right.
You're too big to make the decisions. Can't you figure that out yet?
Your brother came to you, your uncle come to you and said, "What do you want to choose? Don't you see you made the right choice, number one? And now you're making the wrong choice again."
Yeah. And we that studied the Bible know what will happen after that.
Right.
There was a whole people from him and his daughters. Third time we see grace from another individual is Jacob asking for grace from his brother that he cheated and lied. And stole from all of his life.
Right.
And now they're adults. And he heard his brother is coming to meet him. As he's going back home, he knows he's got to face him anyway. And so he starts sending all these animals and all these gifts. And he's praying for grace. "Brother, I want you to have grace on me." The fourth time is a man named Joseph. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And we know the story. And it came to pass after a while that Pharaoh made him his overseer and all of his house. It saved his whole family. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not all he had, save the bread that he eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Did you know I found today in my studies this morning another man that found grace in God? Now we know, we can name them. You know, Elijah, David, all these biblical people that had grace, God showed grace upon. But there's another man talks about found grace. Exodus 33 and 12. My wife, I told her to guess it this morning. So I give her a hint. The meekest man on the all earth was who?
Moses.
Do you know Bible? The Bible said Moses found grace. Grace is a special favor that God bestows upon us. And Moses said unto the Lord, Exodus 33 and verse 12, "Thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said," God told Moses, "I know thee by name. And thou hast found grace in my sight." Now we know God knows everybody's name and he knows us all by name. But God was saying, "You're special."
Right, yeah.
"You have a special place with me."
All right.
Moses found grace. Somebody say he found grace.
Grace.
He found grace in the sight of the Lord. Now, grace makes us separate per the Bible. Somebody say amen.
Everybody
don't have grace. Everybody has mercy, but not grace. So therefore, grace can't be God's unmerited favor. Exodus 33:16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? God, I want to know, how's it going to be known? Is it not in thy that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Moses said, when God shows grace upon you, you're a separate and different people. Everywhere we go, listen, if you act right and you look right and you think right, people look at you differently.
Right.
Right. We went off on a little trip yesterday. Was over at the beach and ended up and had to go buy a specially small stove, 24-inch stove. And when all got said and done, that stove cost me $1,000. Because all we could find was in St. Pete and my wife. We got to stay tonight. Anyway, me and the boys got up early. We're out there throwing fishing poles a little bit. I see this man walk up, and he didn't look like a beach bum. Got a long sleeve shirt on, long pants. Look. And he's down his way. So, hey, man, where are you from? He said, I'm from Plant City. I said, well. Ding, ding, ding. Let's be a witness. You know, that's what the Lord should speak to you and say. Ding, ding, ding. He is real. So I had about a 30-minute conversation. And finally I said, man, let me go back to fishing here a little bit. Let me go back to fishing. Walked over to the bait bucket. Notice he walked off. You know, you got a lot of people around. Now notice he's coming back. He said, hey, take your hands out there and dry them off for a minute. And I thought, well, okay, all right. This little talk here. And later on, I'll go, man. Oh, never met the guy. First time ever that I know of. Now, I know he passed across because he lived in Plants New Long Nine, but didn't recognize him. I said, no, you don't have to do that. I said, man, let me get your phone number so we can have some contacts. He said, no, that ain't for you. That's for your church. He told me he was a preacher, right? I said, man, I got to take it then. Thank you very much. Got his phone number. So we made some contacts. Try to be a witness. I said, where do you go to church yet? What kind of church you pastor? I said, I'm Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal too. I'm Church of God. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
You don't damn them, condemn them, and beat them up.
Right.
He said, I don't go like you should. My wife goes out of service. Grace makes us stand out.
Yes.
People look at us and feel condemned. Mimi was quoting a Facebook post and said it's because, you know, our devils are interrupted. Their devils are interrupted when we get around them. Interrupted wasn't the right word. We kind of got a tickle out of it, but we got the point. Their devils are really interrupted when we get around. Because when we go to the beach, we're scared. We got long sleeve shirts on, long pants. I look up, so what's wrong with those people?
Right.
We don't look at them and go, did you forget your clothes today? We just look and smile. We're different. How y'all doing? Sometimes I jump in the water, we'll jump in the water. And they look and watch you get out by it. How in the world can you not drown with a long sleeve shirt on, long pants on?
Right.
You found grace. I gotta hurry. They're gonna know. Exodus 33 and 16. The whole world is gonna. Why? Because we're gonna be separate.
Right.
God's always required separation. And Exodus 33 and 17, and the Lord talked back to Moses and said, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
Right.
Now, I didn't have this in there, but when Brother Skinner was talking, this one came up. Of course, I just told him to talk about grace, and me and him got the same scripture. And in a few minutes, you'll see that my grace is sufficient. But this one popped up when he was talking a little bit this morning and preaching. One of my favorite scriptures on grace. How could I forgot that in my message? But boy, this morning, boom, there it went. Ephesians 2 and 8. How are you saved? For by grace are ye saved.
through faith.
For it is what?
It is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Stop!
That's where the whole church world stops and forgets the next verse. No, 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 don't quit there, honey. Keep reading. Verse 10, Ephesians 2 and 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works.
Right.
You're not saved by your works, but it's going to take your works to save you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Think about it. That there is only really one person that's going to be showed that fantastic mercy. Or how many ever the Lord's going right at that moment. It might be several thousand across the whole earth. But there's only going to be just a few people that's just saved. Boom! And they got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And boom! They're out of here. Well, absolutely no works after that point. But they've had some works up to that. Because repentance is a work.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
Repentance is turning around.
Right.
Confession is a work.
Yes.
Confession is made with your mouth. Oh, I just can kind of confess in my heart. Well, you just halfway done it then, won't you? Let it out.
Right.
You'll be ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. And we can go on and on. And they got baptized. Remember, that's a required work, but baptism requires us to put your body in water.
Right.
Are you thinking?
Yes.
For by grace are you saved through faith, not yourselves. And verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good work, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Remember, mercy brings you. Grace saves you. Mercy draws you, elder. That's what brought us to God, was God's mercy. And then, when we heard the word, we believed the word, we begin to walk in grace. There's another Bible verse that I didn't put in there. There's just too many. But the other one, what does it talk about? It says grace is a teacher.
Right.
Maybe Elder Hunt has it. Grace is a teacher teaching us to deny ungodly lust. That's what grace really is. Grace is God's schoolmaster.
Right.
Not unmerited favor. That's mercy. Want to hurry? 2 Corinthians 12:2. Let's look at Paul and grace. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. This was a dream or a vision. He's telling you on those sleepless nights, maybe God's trying to speak to you. And if the Lord lays a scripture in your heart, get up and go study a little bit.
Right.
So, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell you. I was so lost in this trance. He didn't really know if God resurrected my body and took him into heaven for a little while and showed him some things, or whether he was still laying there in that bed on a Sunday nap or whatever it was, and God was speaking to him. But this is the conversation, and this is the thing that unfolded between him and God. He was now caught up into that paradise, or paradigme, what we call heaven, or the third heaven, some would say, which is like a vision and a trance state, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Or such of one will I glory. I won't glory in this. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me that which of seeing me to be, or the heareth me, and lest I should be exalted above measure.
All right.
Somebody said above measure.
Above measure.
Through the abundance of revelations, he said, I'm not going to even tell you everything God give me.
All right.
Because you're going to try to think too highly of me. But there is a little bit that I'm going to tell. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. There's many people that talk about that, don't know what it is. Some think it was a devil that was with him all the time and always bothered him. They just all kind of. Some think it was this actual thorn in the flesh of an infirmity, something. If you ask Brother Skinner, he might tell you something what he thinks. Brother Hunt, he might tell you what he thinks. If you ask me, I'm going to tell you what I think. And you didn't ask me, but I'm up here and I'm preaching, so I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it was a memory. It's just what I think.
It's a memory. Brother Skinner, that like you talked about, just couldn't let go. People start a new church and whoa! It'd be going good to have a revival. And also here comes somebody in the church and say, what did you say your name was again? Paul. Did you have a name before that, maybe? You wouldn't have to be that same Saul of Tarsus, would you? Is that you? It's him. You get cold chills. And say, I'm no longer that man. My name's Paul. But I was him.
I was her.
I just wondered. Because Mama tells about Uncle Stephen. How great he was.
Right.
You know that. There's many, many stories.
Mm-hmm. And he'd go and say, God,
will I ever just get over my past? Will there ever be a time that I go to a place and start a church? Do I ever get to a love of God?
All the things he had been through, folks, he was no fly by night.
Right.
He was no little guy. He was a great man of God. And then all of a sudden, here becomes somebody with a memory of what you used to be. And he saw God three times like that was some kind of big deal. What a caliber of man he was. I'm glad God saved him. And if my uncle and great-grandpa was Stephen, I want to look with tears and say, I'm so glad God still saved you, Elmer. I'm so glad God changed you to the great man, Paul, from what you used to be to where you are now.
Right, right, right.
What an awesome vessel. And you're welcome in my home and in my church anytime. Because God is a graceful God. And He had mercy on you and brought you unto the church.
Three times, 2 Corinthians 2:8, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, when I am weak, I am strong. My grace is sufficient.
Yes.
My grace is enough, Elder, when we think about how rotten we used to be.
Yeah, right.
My grace is enough when I've had people that's come to this church and said, it's just you or me. And I put on a smile and say, sure. My heart goes, old girlfriends, old people. And I say, what happened to so-and-so, your husband? Oh, but it takes you to be divorced a long time. You got these kids lined up. Oh. I don't know, my God, show His favor on me. I still don't deserve it. My years of faithfulness don't make me deserve anything God has favored me with. When you're going through the valley, you know what's kept me going. His grace is enough.
Yes.
When I lost my father, I realized His grace is enough. This month, my grandson, my first one, should be born. You know what I do every time I go and visit that little place? God's grace is still enough.
Yes, yes.
I refuse to keep bitter. Because in my weakness, His strength is made perfect.
But Vince, when I battle
in my mind, Oh, yeah, we have sleepless nights. I just don't tell you about them all the time.
I always remember my grace.
That's enough.
When you can't seem to get through, His grace is enough. When, and you can put all the question marks in there of your life. When you get the call and your loved one has died. When you get the call and situations have changed and your life will never be the same. Just remember, man's grace is enough. God's grace is enough to carry you through. My strength, in closing, my strength is made perfect in weakness, God said. In your weakness, His strength will be revealed. You'll learn that He'll carry you. Oh, when your husband dies, come on, are you listening to me? When your husband dies, oh, you got to understand His grace is still enough. When your mama dies, His grace is still enough. When your daddy dies, His grace is still enough. God's grace. Listen, this is what God's grace is. It's the God's favor. It's God's divine favor showed unto all of those who repent and turn around.
Psalms 84 and verse 11, last verse.
Psalms 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord, somebody say the Lord, will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright. We here today are all a product of God's mercy. That's the difference between us.
Only three kinds of people
live in the world. Only three. Only three. That's the sinner, the godly.
That's where we are. Somebody say, I am.
Amen.
One of those trying to walk right, trying to walk godly. But the picture, I ain't perfect. Quit lying to yourself. But scared you are. And I am.
Because I'm walking perfectly in God's sight.
And He don't see your flaws. Love covers the multitude of sins. And you keep repenting. If you take a wrong thought, you mess up. You repent.
Right.
So you're walking perfectly and trying to do everything you can do in God's will. Sinner. Godly. We laid those out right. What's the third time?
Ungodly. That's those that have known and walked away. They walked away from God's grace.
We are a people of the name, and we are a people of grace.
I'm going to read it one more time. Psalms 84 and 11, for the Lord God is the sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
He freely gives it, preacher. Oh yeah, He does. He freely gives it to those who turn.
You know, mercy is kind of like love. God loves everybody. And He shows mercy on everybody. But to really, really be truly accepting of God's love, it requires change.
Right.
And that's where that grace comes in. Grace is God's
divine favor. Aren't you glad you graduated from mercy?
Oh, yes.
And you went into the grace.
Right.
Noah was saved by that.
Right.
Oh, what a story of grace that Moses could tell. And I know at the end he disobeyed God. An elder talked about that rock and stone people, and boom, that just dawned on me. Do you know God took that stone and gave them water? That stone was a provider. And in the New Testament time, they turn around, they want to use the same thing God used for deliverance as damnation and destroying.
Right.
God called him on the first account, smite it. The second account, He said, speak to it. Because He didn't understand. Moses was angry. What was going on here? Christ was to be smoked once. That's it. We don't smite Him no more. We speak to Him. Moses.
Lift your hands and love Him. Come on, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace. For your great grace. For your grace that you give to us.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I didn't even have to preach. Grace. Grace is truly amazing.
Yes, it is. Yes,
one
it
man
is.
Said there's no other word for grace but amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. I woke up early this morning, as I do most mornings, and God began to drop some things into my spirit. And I guess I missed a text or it didn't come through on our subject matter. And so I said, well, sitting back there fretting, but Lord, I just don't see how mine lines up with what you gave me. But then God began to connect some dots. Amen. And so I'm just simple enough to preach whatever I feel like God put on my heart. And so we're going to go to Mark chapter number 9. Amen. I brought my phone and everything up here, so I couldn't even open up my concordance and look up scriptures on grace and try to piece something together real quick. Amen. That's just the way God does things. You'll have to make me nervous. Amen. I was talking to a preacher we'll be preaching for in July, and I've never preached there. And I told him, I said, I'm nervous already. Amen. I got a long time to be nervous.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 9, verse 17 through 27. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.
Yes.
And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him?
Thank you,
and
Lord.
He said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, I want you to focus in on that word, anything.
Yes.
Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe.
Yes.
Help thou mine unbelief.
Yes.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. And he came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I would like to draw your attention back to verse number 22. If thou canst do anything.
Yeah.
According to Webster's dictionary, the word anything means anything whatsoever, any such thing. In any way, I almost refuse to listen to the radio during Share-a-thon. One of the things they say all the time is anything will help. Back in Oklahoma, there was an elder who used to say, if every little would do a little, then little by little, a lot will get done.
Right.
And so they say anything will help. And that's kind of my subject this morning. Lord, anything will help.
Yes.
In our text we read about a father who has brought his son to Jesus. The situation has been a struggle for this child's life ever since the day he was born, perhaps. We do not know how long this father has dealt with his son being possessed by this evil spirit. We do read that the son was just a child when the evil spirit possessed him. Can I say,
yes,
this morning, parents, be careful what you expose your children to, because there are spirits attached to things that will attach them to our children if we're not careful. And then we look back on their life and wonder why they're in the shape they're in and why they're in the trouble they're in. It's because somewhere we opened the door and allowed the devil to come in into our home. The Bible says that the strong man must first be bound before the devil can wreak havoc. Can I tell you this morning, moms and dads, it's up to us, and it's imperative that we guard our children. It's imperative that we take and we guard them with everything we have. Amen. In the first part of this chapter, we read of Jesus, Peter, James, and John. We're all on the top of the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured before them. The word transfigured in the Greek means to metamorphose. The same word is used in Romans 12:2. It said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Brother Texter talked about being perfect, and I do believe that we can live in a perfect state. Maybe not a perfect life, but as he was saying, we can live in a way that we're not conformed to this world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? When the devil comes in and begins to tell us you're unworthy, that if God doesn't love you, begin to think about that favor. You begin to think about that grace and say, if it had not been for the grace of God, whether or not the Apostle Paul, who was talking about these people who were out on the strange of sin, and he said, if it were not for God, there go I. Can I tell you, friend, if it were not for the grace of God this morning, you and I would be helplessly lost this morning. If we were not for the grace of God, we would be destined to hell. But this morning, we have a God who is full of mercy and grace. The Bible says, where sin never bound, the grace of God is much more bound. Oh, I look at the world we're in, and I see the trouble that's out there. And it lets me know that God's grace is greater. Oh, we live in a world that's full of sin, but we live in a world that is full of grace, because God is gracious and merciful to us. Mercy of God, the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How awesome and wonderful it is. This man brings his son.
Oh, yes, he does.
The other nine, this man brings his son to the disciples. And the Bible doesn't say it, but I kind of see the picture. Jesus, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, are up on the mountain. The other nine are down here. And this man comes and brings his son to those other nine. You know, if you do a study, you don't read about Matthew doing very many miracles. Oh yes, he writes the genealogy of Jesus, and he writes the book of Matthew to the Jews, showing the lineage and trying to show them that, you know, Jesus is of the lineage of David. Right. You don't find very many miracles performed by Mark, but when you read his gospel, he has written a lot of the things about the miracles that God done.
Yeah.
You read some of this life of some of them other nine that are not part of that inner circle, and you don't see them doing very many things as far as miracles. So this man, he brings his son to these other nine and said, and then he told Jesus, he said, I brought him to your disciples, but your disciples couldn't do anything. I brought him to your followers, but your followers were not able to help. Jesus answered the man and said, O faithless generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Jesus is letting them know that I'm not always going to be here. You got to learn to get a hold of things for yourself. Can I tell you, young people, and I'm glad you just walked in because I got something to say to you. Amen. This morning, you cannot ride the coattail of mama and daddy.
Yes,
you cannot,
right, yes.
Young people, ride the coattail of your grandparents. You must get an experience for yourself. You must come to the realization that God's grace is for you as well. Amen. God's grace is not limited to just one generation. God's grace is from generation to generation. Amen. This morning we must pass down the grace of God from this generation to the next generation. Amen. It's imperative that we teach these young children, amen, about the grace of God and how it is the favor of God on our life.
Yes, yes, it is.
Jesus said, I'm not always going to be here.
Yes.
Amen. Your mom and your dad. Amen. We have testaments in this very building are not always going to be here.
Yes.
But Jesus looked at this man and he saw the hurt in this man's eyes. He saw what all this man has suffered. Jesus said, bring him unto me. When they brought the son to Jesus, the evil spirit cast the son on the ground and the son began to wallow and he began to foam at the mouth. I believe the devil knew it was fixing to be cast out. And he said, I'm going to take one more opportunity to try to destroy the faith of this father. Because the father brings the child to Jesus and then the devil casts the child on the ground. And no doubt the father's looking and he said, you know, I brought him to you so you can help. But now he's foaming and he's rolling around on the ground. Jesus, can you do anything? Or anything will help. It doesn't matter, God, what you do. Just can't make him speak.
Yeah.
Just make him hear. Get rid of the devil. I don't care what you do. I've done everything I know to do. I bet my wits in. I've tried everything. But God, if you could just do anything, anything will help this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Father has a complex situation.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. His son is deaf and mute. And oftentimes he jumps into the water. Oftentimes he jumps into the fire. And his dad can't take him camping. His father can't take him fishing. His father can't, help him barbecue or anything because you don't know if little Johnny's just going to dive off into the fire pit.
Yeah.
You don't know if little Johnny's just going to jump off the boat. And so his father is... And that is what's in. He's living with a son that he really can't do anything with because the devil has vexed his soul. Amen. His father is saying, if thou can do anything. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said, Lord, I'll just settle for anything. Lord, I just need a touch. God, even if it's just a quiver. Lord, even if it's just a little goosebump up my spine. God, you ain't got to shout me. You ain't got to run me. You ain't got to throw me in the floor. You ain't got to do all that. But God, just a little breeze from heaven will be enough. And I tell you today, friend, when that woman came to Jesus who had a daughter who was vexed with the devil, he said, it's not even me to get the bread to the dogs. She said, Lord, but that's the crumb I knew. And I tell you this morning, and she looked and she said, I know that you are the bread of life. And this problem that I have is such a small thing that even a crumb will take care of it. And I tell you this morning, God, anything will help. I don't need anything. I just need something that I can give to you this morning. Lord, anything will help.
Thank you, Lord.
Say, Lord, I'm willing to settle for anything. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief. Maybe that is where you find yourself this morning. God, I know you have grace for others.
Yes.
But can you have grace for me?
Yeah.
God, I know you can do anything. I just need some help believing that you can do anything for me.
Right.
You know, it's easy to believe for somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
But when it becomes your problem, it's a little harder to believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
We believe in miracles. We believe in healing. We believe that God is able. But when it comes home, faith gets shaken.
Right.
You have to learn to rely on grace. Amen. That favor. I talked about this the other night. Amen. Wednesday night when I was preaching, Brother Texter gave me permission. So when I go to his house, on my way in, I can stop at the refrigerator, open the door, and see what he's got. Amen. I'm not going to go to Brother Luke's or Brother Josh's house and just walk in and open the refrigerator. Amen. That might not be receptive.
Yes.
Bro, what are you doing? Because we don't have that. We're friends. And I believe we're good friends. We're tight. But we don't have that relationship.
Yes.
Because one, it'd be the first time I was ever in their home.
Yes.
So I just couldn't just walk in there and bust that thing open and like, what you got?
Yes.
Amen. But I was using the analogy when I go to 1266 Weber Road. I can walk up in that house and I've got access to pretty much anything that is there because that is my mama's place.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. This morning we got to realize that when we become the sons of God and the daughters of God, and we have that grace,
right,
it elevates us to another level.
Yes, yes.
Amen. We're able to walk in and go into the throne room of God.
Oh, yes.
We don't go in with our chest bowed out. Well, I'm here.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. We go before the throne of grace humbly.
Yes, humbly.
But yet confident.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, Brother Hunt, that sounds like a paradox. Sounds like a conundrum. How in the world can you go humbly yet confident?
Right. Yes, yes.
You go humbly realizing if it were not for the grace of God,
right,
you would not be allowed in His presence.
Right.
But you go confident knowing that He is your Father.
That's right.
And the Bible says He will not withhold any good gift from you.
Right.
That's right.
Amen. As we stand all across this house this morning,
oh,
I probably took the less amount of time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I could use some more grace.
Yes, right.
I believe that